Hello. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. We are live on Sports Keta Wrestle Binge, Sports Keta Facebook, as well as Sports Keta, I think it's Twitch, for another edition of Smack Talk, our review of WWE SmackDown. I am joined by wrestling legend, wrestler, manager, creative mind, and mustache, yeah. Dutch Mantel.
That's me. Well, you know, my whole internet was kind of shabby today. It would come in, then it would go out, and you know how SmackDown was doing like a couple of months ago? It'd be 5 seconds, 10 seconds dark, because they were cutting out cussing. Is what I found out later. That's what my TV was doing today, or my internet was doing today. And I said, well, I hope it holds up. But my overall impression of this show, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but I'm not overly impressed with it.
Well, that is fair. That is fair criticism, and we're going to find out why Dutch Mantel is not too pleased with tonight's episode of SmackDown, but we want to say we appreciate y'all for joining us. Remember to show that appreciation back the simplest way possible. It's free. All you have to do, drop the thumbs up on this video. Whether you're watching us over on our YouTube channel, you hit the subscribe button if you're watching over there. If you're watching us on Facebook, you have the option of dropping a thumbs up, a heart emoji, a laugh emoji, an angry emoji. How did the first night of the WWE Draft 2024 make you feel? What draft pick did you think would have the biggest impact on the night and will have the biggest impact moving forward? Let us know in the live chat if you're joining us live. Sound off over there. If you're watching us over on our YouTube channel, you could send a super chat donation. If you have a question for Dutch Mantel, you want to hear his further thoughts on everything that went
$100,
down.
$100, and I'll answer it.
There you go. He sets the standards. I do not. So let us know anything you want to talk about from tonight's WWE draft, from tonight's SmackDown. But before we get into the WWE draft, the whole reason WWE is doing the WWE draft this week, Dutch Mantel, is because it's the NFL draft week. And ironically enough, wrestling was the talk of the NFL draft, especially first night.
It sure was. Well, Tony Khan was attacked by his own employees, his own wrestlers, over on AEW. Dynamite.
He had an in-ring segment with Jack Perry, who has been suspended since everything that went down at AEW All In. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago here on the show. We talked about AEW showing the All In footage. And I kind of said that back then when we had that discussion that they had to close the loop. And the loop is bring back Jack Perry. So he returns at AEW Dynasty. They set it up at the beginning of the night. They go see Tony Khan and they say, Jack Perry and Tony Khan are going to have an in-ring meeting. Jack Perry convinces Tony Khan to shake his hand and reinstate him. Then he punches him in the stomach with the microphone. The Young Bucks and Okada come in. They seem like they're making the save for Tony Khan, but Okada says, get him up. And they put him up in the TK driver, the tombstone, spike tombstone power driver, dropping him on his stack of dimes. And then Tony Khan shows up at the NFL draft because Tony Khan is a part of the management for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he is wearing a neck brace.
Well, I was doing my other podcast, Storytime with Dutch, and my co-host, James. We came up with a hell of an angle for it. I don't know where they're going to take this, but I would try to pull those people apart and form and try to take it over. But in these ways to do that, I think it would be if they would make a story out of that. But so I'm watching. Granted, Tony Khan is very green at anything wrestling oriented. But all he had to do was go back and watch the tape of Andy Kaufman in Memphis years and years and years ago. And that night I was there, that night in the arena when he laid there. And everybody in that arena, everybody, and me included, I said, he's hurt. He's got to be hurt to lay there that long. And the story is he laid there so long, Lawler finally told the referee, tell him to get up. So he went in there and he told Tony, Lawler wants you to get up. He said, I can't. I need an ambulance. So he goes out and he said, he can't. He's hurt. He needs an ambulance. He says, God damn, I ain't paying for an ambulance. And he went back and told Tony that. He said, he's not paying for an ambulance. He said, tell him I'll pay for it. Then went back and told Lawler. He said, all right, do what you want to do. And the ambulance showed up. Everybody stayed. And they carted him out. And that's how you sell, you know, an attack by a wrestler. Tony eventually got up on his own and walked out. And I said, I wonder, will he come back with the neck brace? Yes, he did. He came back today at the NFL draft. Where are they holding that at?
I'm not sure where they're holding it at. I know they were shown in the war room at for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is in Jacksonville.
Okay. But I looked there, Tony Khan, there he was with the neck brace. And the announcers, of course, they got to say something about it. Of course, he told them too. And he really got AEW's message out that, hey, there's a new wrestling group in town. You might want to check it out. He made one comment. He says, you got AEW. What did he say about them? They're known for what?
He said AEW is the Pepsi of pro wrestling, and yeah, WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. He said that in an interview on the NFL Network covering the NFL draft, which like it was probably the biggest thing I saw from the NFL draft last night. It went viral, yeah, and that's the reason why they had him on the interview on NFL Network. NFL Network was totally fine with him saying that. So,
that was good.
Obviously, he said that to get attention, and it definitely did that today.
And since I've gotten into podcast business with you guys, what gets people talking isn't negativity. The more negative you are, the more they quote you. So, I'm going to say something right now. That Tony Khan, that no good. I'm gonna cut it off there. But yeah, I think they got more out of that than they could got running a bunch of commercials and costing a ton of money. So he got on there and they asked him, he sat there and he didn't really look hurt, but that's not the point. He got the AEW message out and maybe he's learned something. So
we gotta see how it translates with the ratings. They had a tough week on Dynamite this week, going up against the NBA playoffs and having audio issues on TBS. They had their lowest rating since January 2021, but hopefully the buzz and the attention and the conversation that they've stirred up during the week after the close of Dynamite will result in some more people watching their product.
Yeah, but now the people that tune in, I don't know how many, but you got to have something to bring them back.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the only thing that he didn't do right as far as the selling of everything
in the buying the company.
I mean, hey, I can't judge him on that. I could judge him on his booking because I do it all the time. But I can't judge him on buying the company because he's gotten a lot of jobs for people and that's commendable.
He has.
Far as this interview, I would have liked him to kind of sell the Jack Perry part of this because I feel like he's the one that is benefiting from it, where we are now a couple of weeks removed from AEW showing the footage. And showing the footage led to Jack Perry coming back and just the overall feel that Jack Perry has gotten from the New Japan show he did in Chicago to his appearance at all AEW Dynasty with the big reaction he got there. He got a big reaction for the close of Jacksonville on Dynamite. He has that feel of what is he going to do next? And I wish that Tony would have sold that in his interviews.
Well, what is bringing this whole thing along is story. Now they have a backdrop to it. They have the backstory. So all they got to do is build on that. I would continue the story with the Bucks and Jack and put them all together. They'd be hateful little heels. You'd want to kill them. You'd want to strangle them. So if they're smart, they'll tell the story. Something to follow week to week to week to week and see where it goes. I guarantee you they'll have success with it.
So did you watch the angle, the actual angle?
Yeah, I watched the whole.
Okay, so I went
in the ring.
Yeah. I wanted to say my favorite
Tony,
person.
I swear to God,
My favorite person in the whole.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say my favorite person in the whole angle is Okada. Okada did the least, but he did the most with just facial, just doing the up, and then he does the Scott Hall. He does that while they're doing the TK. He's my favorite. But go ahead, Dutch.
No, it was good. It was very good, and you know, Tony, I'm watching him doing the interview. He looks like the biggest goof out there. He's looking at the camera like this, and I don't think he can believe he's on camera. Regardless of the fact that he was the one who put himself out there, but as it came across, that's one of the best things they've done in a while. And it wasn't a match; it was an angle, and the angles draw money. Your matches, they're fill-ins. So, we're here to talk about.
I do like the fact because that whole angle gave me what I wanted, because the moment they announced it, I was like, Jack Perry has to attack Tony Khan.
But
I know there's some people that's been critical of it and saying, oh, you got to do angles like this. You got to sell it as serious and real. And I've said this on the internet and I will say it here. There was no way to sell this as serious and real with Tony Khan involved. There was no way, but they made it entertaining. That's what they had to do, and that's what it was. It was entertaining. Whether you hate the Young Bucks or hate the Elite or not, if you don't get some type of laughter or enjoyment out of that segment, you're not living. My missus, who does not like AEW, she's admitted to being a pest, she does not like Tony Khan, she laughed at that segment. So that's enjoyment.
She enjoyed it.
Exactly. She enjoyed it. She laughed at it. She laughed at him. She enjoyed it.
The only thing I would maybe change on it doesn't change the outcome, but have the Bucks get on Jack Perry, saying, you're getting a little bit too cocky around here, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, do something about it. The glass ain't real, you know. I'd get that in there too.
what I actually think, though, Dutch, is that that's what the long-term story should be, is that the Bucks regret bringing Jack Perry in, because Jack Perry is this now rebel and outlaw. Like, I like the fact that, you know, all the members of the Elite, the Bucks and Okada, are wearing night suits. Jack Perry's in a leather jacket and in street clothes. I want them to continue that. He shouldn't wear the suits. He should be the rebel. And then eventually the Bucks are going to regret the fact that they've brought Jack Perry back into the company.
You know how long they could carry this angle? At least 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
At least. Don't speed it up. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and now you have Tony Khan getting his team together, getting his guys that support him, and now you got it. So you put it down on a piece of paper and see what you got. Hell, they got 2 months right now with no talking about it much.
And they got a great hook for next week's show, because next week's show's in Winnipeg, and they announced before the angle even went down, they announced earlier in the show, Dutch, that Kenny Omega's returning after he's been fired, and he's the only remaining EVP because the Bucks have gotten rid of Tony Khan, basically. So now the only remaining authority figure in AEW is coming back, and now we're going to see what he thinks of the new Elite.
Well, that's good. You hear my alert dog?
He agrees, and he knows who is joining us right now on location. He is on his way home from WWE SmackDown. It is the third member of Smack Talk, Rick Uchino. How are you doing?
What is up, gentlemen? How are we doing? Ignore what I'm doing. I am definitely not breaking Ohio law right now, holding a cell phone while driving. I'm not doing that.
Sure you are. Not.
You're not doing that.
No, you're breaking law if you're looking at the screen, but if you're just talking, because they can arrest everybody for just talking in the car.
Actually, I'm not allowed to hold it in my hand. That is an Ohio law now. But either way, I'm here.
This is why you need
making eye contact, but I am here following tonight's festivities in my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio.
What did you think about tonight's show, Rick?
Needed more wrestling, and I'll tell you what, at first I was on board with the champions being frozen on their respective brands, but I think them being left out kind of took some of the luster out of the draft tonight. The pool was a little shallow this evening, if you know what I'm saying.
I definitely agree with you there. It definitely took kind of some of the sting out of it. I thought the first round was entertaining with the big addition of SmackDown taking Carmelo Hayes in the first round. That made it very exciting in the first round, but it was just round by round. It was a law of diminishing returns to the point that at the end I was just like, "Oh wow, AJ Styles is picked in the last round?"
Yeah, that made no sense to me. Like none whatsoever. And like that's one of the big things. Like there was, if you're gonna do a draft like this, the story needs to center around Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. And there's a lot of like GM level draft day type storylines that these guys could have been playing out on television. Instead, they're sitting there pantomiming in a draft room that is full of WWE and advisors that have nothing to do with their respective brands. And I'm just sitting here going, okay, Jinto being taken in the top, like that makes sense because he could very well be the world heavyweight champion. But the same could be said for AJ Styles, and that he's not taken until round four? That did not make a ton of sense to me. It was a lot of defense tonight, too. Not a lot of, like, big names changing brands outside of, like, Braun Breaker and, I guess, technically Sheamus. And there's some Nia Jax, too. No. But
Ricochet.
No, Ricochet stayed on Raw. And Sheamus been on Raw since he returned, so it wasn't really
But he
a
was
swap.
Still technically a SmackDown superstar.
Not to me. You start showing up on SmackDown, you took a break, you was gone for a while, you come back, you on Raw now.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Not a lot of action and not a lot of sizzle. I was genuinely surprised by the Kiana James pick. We'll see how she fits in on Raw, because right now Raw has a lot of really talented ladies that are not over with the main roster, and Kiana now adds to that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they shuffle up the remaining ladies who have not been drafted so far.
Yeah, any overall thoughts, Dutch, before we let Rick go, because he's going to get arrested?
I already dodged one.
Hey, seriously, hey, Rick, get arrested, get stopped, put it on camera, and it go viral, and you make a lot of money.
That is true.
That
would be the most interesting storyline of the night.
Yeah.
For sure.
If they only fine you like $75, you can make like $500 just off the video. So you're actually making money, and then, of course, you're paying taxes on it, so that helps everybody. But anyway, it was a maintenance show. I use that term a lot. I wasn't really, the first hour was okay. But I think that draft sucked tonight. It literally sucked. I mean, they had some people they brought back that you know, but they're there. And I mean, you could go on the internet and just see their picture or see videos on them all the time. They don't really got to do nothing. But
yeah, they went for the cheap pop nostalgia stuff, which I kind of get, right? Because they bring back the legends for the NFL draft all the time. Like TJ Hushmanzada is announcing the Bengals picks tonight. So like they do that kind of stuff. But when you popped out for a second there, Dutch, I was telling SB3, there were a lot of storylines that they could have done centered around Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce that they could have done tonight and let them kind of be the stars of the show. They didn't even announce their own draft picks. Like, that was really surprising. Fix that for Monday. But they probably won't.
They won't. They want to do the guest stars.
Were you excited about any picks?
Carmelo Hayes going to SmackDown. And the fact that...
But that's only... Wait a minute. Let me say something. Carmelo Hayes, I don't know him from Adam's house cat. I just know he's in NXT. I don't watch NXT. So you got to get the majority of the fans kind of more interested in NXT. Let me ask you something. What is that thing they advertised in the middle of it, like Speed or something? What was that?
The Speed is their Twitter show. It's a show they do on Wednesdays. It's like a 3-minute time limit matches, and they're determining a Speed champion.
How's that work? Pinfall?
Yeah, pinfall submission, 3-minute time limit.
What if it goes through? The people pick it?
Time limit draw.
Yep.
I don't think they had a time limit draw.
Who come up with that? Who come up with that stupid idea?
I have no idea.
How long is the show?
It's just to get social media engagement, you know, people to watch videos and things like that. So.
Okay, yeah. Well.
No, but I was pleasantly surprised with how high Carmelo was taken. That to me, at least in the Triple H era, should mean they have big things planned for him. And I was also happy that they split him and Bron Breakker up, because I didn't think they needed to be on the same show. The last thing I'll say about this, about the draft tonight, I do not like where LA Knight landed. LA Knight, to me, needed to be separated from AJ Styles and all the other, you know, people that he's been feuding with, and he needed to be on Raw competing for a world title at some point this year or early.
Why do they need to be separated?
Well, why does he need to be competing for a world title? I don't get why people want to rush LA Knight so much when we were kind of under the understanding after he failed to beat Roman Reigns that he should probably go for a mid-card title first. And I understood them keeping him on SmackDown because that's going to keep him with Logan Paul. And I think that's the matchup that they're going to do.
I think he just gets lost in the sauce as like the fourth or fifth babyface if Kevin Owens stays on and God knows who else they draft. He just feels like he's got a chance to really stand out and shine on his own on Monday Night Raw. I think he needed to switch brands. That's just my opinion on it.
I think he's more over as a babyface than Kevin Owens.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think he
gets a big, he gets a bigger reaction than Owens.
Behind Randy and Cody, he's still number three. Right now.
Who's this? Kevin?
And would he be number one on Raw?
No, I don't know.
Well, again, it's hard to say.
He wouldn't be number one on Raw.
No, he wouldn't, but he has a chance to grow into that more, I think. He's just going to be parked behind, I don't know. We'll see. I would hope that he takes, Jesus Christ, dude, it's 90, it's 65. Anyway.
Well, but we're acting like we're acting like, oh, you said he has room to grow. He's 41 years old. How much room does he need to grow? He's 41.
I'll throw that back in your face. Why do we need to be patient with LA Knight? He's 41. Let's put him in the world title picture.
I don't think he's that guy. I'll say it. I'll say it out loud. I don't think LA Knight's that world champion guy. I don't think that he is at that level as far as in-ring. I think he's at that level as a character. He's at that level as a promo. He's at that level as charisma. And he could be a world champion at a point in WWE. I just don't think that point is right now.
I agree.
Do you think that point would be within the next calendar year?
No.
Huh? I think he might
be on SmackDown. If you do think that, he should be on Raw. I think he should be on Raw.
Because the world title scene on Raw is kind of crowded up. You got Damian Priest. You got Drew McIntyre. You got CM Punk coming back. You also got Seth Rollins coming back. So where does LA Knight
fit in there?
They're still trying to position Jey Uso in that position as well. You got Sami Zayn as Intercontinental Champion, who's a top babyface as well. Like, where does LA Knight fit in there?
Well, I mean, conventional wisdom would say some of those guys aren't going to be there, and they're going to be on SmackDown. And either way, LA Knight's going to get lost.
No, I literally just mentioned the guys that we know for sure are going to be on Raw. Seth, Jey Uso, like, these are people that I would say.
You mentioned McIntyre. We don't know where
Punk,
they're going to go.
Punk is going to be on Raw. Punk is going to be on Raw, guys. I'm a spoiler alert. Like, just letting y'all know.
Just letting y'all know.
And spoiler alert, guys. Come on, guys. Rick wants to play kayfabe with y'all. I'm gonna be real with y'all. Spoiler alert. When they drafted Sheamus to Raw tonight, that was confirmation that Drew McIntyre and CM Punk are also gonna be drafted to Raw.
This draft was a giant waste of time.
It wasn't that good.
Like, in all honesty, like, if you're gonna shake things up and change things around and alter the course and all this BS that we've heard, 75% of your picks can't stay on the brand that they were on beforehand, especially your top stars. And you already did that when you froze all your champions. So
yeah, it was a boring night. If I would have been in that arena tonight, I'd have been a vendor, and I would walk around with bottles of no-dos and selling them to everybody so they could stay awake.
I'd have made a lot of money tonight.
I didn't like the way they damn slammed your Bengals.
Yeah, fuck Grayson Waller. Anyway, but
like, he'll kangaroo whoop your ass. What he'll do? By God.
No, I do like Grayson. That was a good cheap pop. I'll say this shows that the Heritage Bank's probably the most crowded and the longest line I've seen to get into the building and the longest line I've seen at the merchandise stand in all my years of attending shows at that arena. So crowd seemed to enjoy having a good night. I think there was a lot of talking. I would have liked to see a little bit more wrestling. And R.I.P. Cedric Alexander, that poor bastard.
Well, that's why they have house shows. That's when you go see the wrestling. Yeah. TV's for the talking and the entertainment value. You buy a ticket when you know, a regular show, say in Cincinnati, then you see every match will wrestle.
Well, I even thought like the promo exchanges tonight were just kind of mid. Like they were okay.
I was watching Cody and AJ.
I said at the top of the show, the best thing on the show was the bloodline, which I feel like I say on a lot of these episodes.
Yeah, which is great for them. And I did like the story of them sliding in the draft, although Roman Reigns taking himself out of the draft screwed up my entire mock, but that doesn't matter. I like
this. See, this is why I mock draft what I would pick and not what WWE's going to pick.
Oh, well, I'll be more accurate on Monday.
Hey, when they took all the champions out of the draft and protected them, there it went.
They nuked their own draft.
They bombed it before it ever went on the air. Oh, the champions can't be drafted back and forth. It's a strange concept. Always has been to me. But
yeah,
and they weren't any really good surprises. And I was surprised at the end. What's that girl's name in NXT?
Kiana James.
Kiana who?
Kiana James.
Okay. See, I don't know who she is. So, they do have a stacked women's division. They really do. I like Nia Jax, what she did tonight. She just went out there.
That was also one of my favorite things on the show, is Nia Jax attacking Bayley.
I thought Nia needed to go on SmackDown and, yeah, just immediately insert herself in that world's title picture, or that WWE wins title picture going up again. I thought that was perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. The only thing I will ask out of Monday is that Damage Control winds up on Monday Night Raw. For the love of God, get those ladies away from Bianca and get them away from Bayley. Please, for the love of God. Everybody else can stay. Damage Control, go to Raw. That's it.
They're entertaining. I like them.
I do too.
Well, I'm standing there watching those two, Bianca and what's the other girl's name?
Jade Cargill.
They've been going to beat up those little bitty Japanese girls. They look like a bunch of schoolyard bullies. Like, yeah, we'll whoop your ass here.
Hey, they were going to jump her.
They were going to jump who?
They were going to jump Bianca. Jade
no,
was just helping
they,
her
they went out there and they were having a conversation to damn Jade come out.
To be honest, they went out there and they was dancing. It was like,
da-da-da. Hey, how big is that Jade girl?
She's about
6'1".
About 5'11", I think.
Yeah, she's tall. She's big.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts of the night, though, where it looked like the girls might throw down, and then Kevin Owens and Tama Tonga come in between.
Yeah, I love that.
That was great.
That was the peak of the show.
That was a good misdirection. Yeah. You didn't expect that, and then it went on. So, but yeah, that part was good. The first hour was good, and that part with that they did the misdirection, that was good too. So I enjoyed that.
That was the peak of the show with the first hour. But we got to go through the rest of the show very quickly here. Rick, you got to get home. Let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, sir.
Follow me at Rick Uccino on X and Instagram, RickUccino. I'll be putting out my day 2 mock draft Monday morning, so I got to go get working on that. See you guys. Bye-bye.
See you, sir. Thank you, Rick, for joining
us.
Hey,
what if he did get pulled over and him and the officer got in a hell of an argument? Then the officer just baits the crap out of him and leaves him laying. I don't know.
Would have been some great, great content, in my opinion.
It would.
But let's go over what happened on the show. The show started. We got people arriving at the building. We see Cody backstage signing weight belts. We see AJ arriving, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair. Kayla Braxton backstage interviews Paul Heyman, who says that Roman Reigns has withdrawn from eligibility from the 2024 draft. Heyman said it's not a negative, it's a positive. He ran down all of Roman Reigns' accomplishments and asked why should he hog up the number one draft pick spotlight when he won't be returning in the immediate future. Heyman said the pressure is now Nick Aldis and on Adam Pearce, and Heyman was intrigued to see who they picked. From there, the show went to Jackie Redmond, who is at Performance Center with the NXT wrestlers, and she asked who's next, and they threw it back to SmackDown, where Corey Graves was in the ring, and we got AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes in a contract signing. We get AJ coming out first, Cody Rhodes coming out second. They put the Undisputed WWE Championship in the middle. The crowd was very hot for the start of this segment here. AJ said that before he signs the contract, he wanted to point out it was two Georgia boys, Dutch, who will be mixing it up for the first time for the biggest prize in the game. They're both from Georgia.
I know that.
Pretty simple. Styles talked about how he got his composure back after he lost at WrestleMania, and he says he understands why the fans are upset with him because of his issue with LA Knight, but he beat LA Knight after he got his composure back, and he earned the right to face Cody. Styles then said that he respects
but
Cody.
But he was apologizing for beating LA Knight.
Basically.
He said, yeah, well, I had to do it. Just, you know, I had to do it. Okay, we got it.
Had to do it, I guess, to get my payback for whatever reason you made up in your head. He says they've been down the same roads. They had to prove themselves outside of WWE. We also get Styles mentioning that Dusty Rhodes was the person that taught him how to stand on his two feet. The crowd busts out a Dusty chant.
I'm wondering, are they sending Dusty's family a check?
Because they're using him for a lot of references. Cody is hired by the company, so they are, in fact, sending Dusty's family a check.
They are?
Cody is hired by the company, so they are.
Yeah, but does Cody send that money to his mother? A part of it?
We don't know. We don't know. No, but they need... You going to interview him?
That's what I said. Yeah, I would like to interview him. I would say that they need to take as many times as they've mentioned Cody Dusty in the last year. I think the family's owed something. The wife is owed something because Dusty busted his ass all these years, like all the rest of us. And all of a sudden, they're using Dusty to help Cody, but they also, you know, they're doing that Dusty Rhodes name is out there.
Yeah.
I'd come out with some merchandise or something. Do they have merchandise of Dusty yet? They should.
Yeah, they've had Dusty merchandise for sure. So Styles says
lately.
I don't know about lately.
Okay.
Styles says that he learned a lot from Dusty and that Dusty was a good man. He says that Dusty taught him how to carry himself and how to carry the weight of being a champion. He says that the weight of the title isn't just leather and gold, and at Backlash, he wants to see if Cody can carry it. Styles then signed the contract. Graves picked up the contract and handed it to Cody. Cody said, Cincinnati, what do you want to talk about? And then
What a cheap pop. Just bring up the town's name, Cincinnati. Yay! You know it's guaranteed they're going to cheer for
every
that.
Every single time. Every single time. It's fair.
And
game.
Then he said, "What am I going to talk about?" By the AJ, I got him slapped him right then. What am I going to talk about? What do you think you're out here to talk about? All right, go ahead.
He says that he has said in the past that Styles is the modern day excellence of execution. Cody said that all their respect goes by the wayside at Backlash. Cody says Styles implied that Cody couldn't carry the weight of the championship. But he says that it isn't about winning the title. It's about keeping it.
And he That is true.
He respects Styles' familiarity with his last name, but at Backlash, when he signs the name C-O-D-Y, Cody, in front of the name Rhodes, it will be a level playing field because it will be the first time they will ever meet. But to him, it is not a dream match. Rather, it will be a must win. We get Cody chance. He signs the contract. He gets up. He sticks out his hand to AJ Styles. Styles says it's a billion.
Okay, when he sticks out the hand, that's the fans say, uh-oh, here it is. Here it is. So they shook the hand, right? And they didn't let go for a while. They did this good. Then they go. Then he turned loose, and he's walking. And he said, all right, here it is. Here it is. If they're going to do something, they're going to do it right now. Then they turned around and looked at each other. And then he left. That was good. That was another misdirection. Because if they know exactly the time something is supposed to happen. If it doesn't happen there, they say, oh, well. But people watch. I was watching.
That got the heat on Styles at the end of the promo is the fact that they didn't do anything. Styles says that it was a beautiful thing to see Cody finish his story and win the title, but it will be a shame that Cody's title reign will end at Backlash. He shook Cody's hand. Styles left the ring. Cody picked up the title, raised it. His music played, but then Cody left the ring to end the segment. As Cody walked up the walkway, Triple H came out, and that took us to our first round of the WWE draft. But what did you think about the contract signing overall?
It was pretty good. You don't really have a heel there. You have a semi-heel just because he's against Cody. Or just because Cody hates people like him for what he's done in the past. But it's as good as it could have been. And it got the point across. It is what it is. It's Cody versus AJ. So if you want to see it, see it. But did that compel anybody to go see it? Not really. But if you were going to, it's a good setup to it.
Yeah, it very much, the promo work and the feel of this whole rivalry feels very much like Cody's challenger of the month. It doesn't feel like they have any long-term plans to make this a rivalry. This just feels like they're just trying to get this to Backlash. That's it.
Okay.
But that brought us to...
You think AJ will win?
Absolutely not. I think that AJ will go to the back of the line on SmackDown just like he was in the draft. But we do
but
have...
How long has he been there?
Where?
How long has AJ been in WWE?
Since 2016, so 8 years.
Okay.
We got Robert Rose with a Super Chat donation. Thank you so much, Robert Rose. We appreciate the support. He says they should play off the running joke that Tony is wasting his father's money, and it gets revealed his father was behind the attack to take over. Yo, his father, his father's acting? His father's acting was better than Tony. Chad Khan's acting, he really looked like he was concerned at the end of the
show. That is a good idea, but that's how about push that down later? Because how can they take over the company if his dad's not behind it? And you know, Tony could keep saying, you don't have the money. They said, oh, believe us. We got the money. And then... Good thinking, Robert. You're way, way ahead of the curve. So,
I like it, Robert.
Write a letter to WWE or AEW right now. Yeah, AEW and explain
just
that.
Tag Tony Khan on Twitter. He'll
yeah, tag him on Twitter. But it's a good idea. And we don't ever say people have good ideas, do we? We usually blast the hell out of them. But Robert, good for you. Need to write a book. I'd buy it.
So, first round for SmackDown, they picked up Bianca Belair with their first overall pick. Then they picked up the big addition in the first round was former NXT champion Carmelo Hayes. Meanwhile, Monday Night Raw picked up Jey Uso as well as Seth freaking Rollins. What do you give letter grade for SmackDown, letter grade for Raw in the first round? SmackDown.
Okay, who do they get?
Bianca Belair and Carmelo Hayes for SmackDown, Jey Uso and Seth Rollins for Raw.
I'd say Raw got the better of that. Right now, I do.
I would say SmackDown.
Well, that's because you're wrong.
No, I only say SmackDown because Raw's not going to have Seth Rollins for probably like the next 4 months.
Well, that's where he went. I mean.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
So he's hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Oh. They still got the better of it.
They got one person, basically. I'll take two over one.
Okay. That's where we differ.
Exactly. So you got next up, Carmelo Hayes comes out. He grabs a microphone. Hayes said that when they talk about who's next up and who's the hottest out, they call him Carmelo Hayes. We get Whoop That Trick Chance in courtesy of the new NXT champion, Trick Williams. Hayes says that he already did that. And then he speaks to Cody and he says he heard Cody saying that when you shoot from the king, you best not miss. But he says when Melo shoots, he doesn't miss. So as the first round draft pick, he couldn't think of a better way to shoot his shot than to shoot it against Cody. Hayes sets his mic down. Cody picks up the mic and he plays with the crowd about the possibility of him wrestling tonight. But he says he always brings his wrestling gear. He accepts the challenge. And that was our main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes, Carmelo Hayes. What did you think about the Carmelo Hayes challenge? I thought it was a good way to give Carmelo Hayes a big platform in his debut.
It did not hold me to the end of the show.
No.
Because I don't know Carmelo Hayes.
They didn't promote it, really. I thought they would do like a video package or something for Carmelo to hype up the main event. But it was like they made the matchup. They would advertise it and say it's coming up a bunch of times. But they didn't give any promo work to either guy after that. They didn't do a video package for Carmelo Hayes. I thought they would have done more to build that up as the main event. I do agree with you there.
Well, what I thought about the first time I saw it, you know, I go back and watch it a couple of times. I thought the title was on the line. I said, wait a minute. They can't put the title online on this live show. Then he's going to backlash with the title. I mean, that would be Carmelo Hayes going. And they didn't say anything about it. I said, well, maybe he didn't say that. But it is what it is. We've seen it 100 times. How was the match? I didn't see the match either.
Oh, you didn't watch the match? It was a good match. It was very competitive.
It was a good match. It was good.
Carmelo was very competitive. You could see it was very
I've
clear
never seen Carmelo Hayes.
Well, you should have watched the match then. Well, you didn't watch the match. You had one job.
Because I had somebody breaking in next door and I had to go stop it.
See, you were saving a life.
I'm the community outwatch center here, and I have to watch the community because who knows who may be breaking in these houses. I didn't see it.
I respect you because you called me out because I said it was good, but let's be real. I got to be real here. I said it was good because it was good for what we got, but it was a 8-minute and 41-second main event for Carmelo Hayes in his debut. And it doesn't matter how many near falls you get against the WWE champion. If the WWE champion is putting you away in less than 9 minutes, it's not the best stamp of approval that I would have liked for Carmelo Hayes in his debut.
This is Carmelo Hayes' first time on SmackDown?
No, it's not his first time on SmackDown, but this is his official main roster call-up in the draft. His first appearance as an official SmackDown member of the roster. Well, I thought they would have given him at least 10 minutes to work with Cody.
I don't think it's that noticeable. He's in the ring with Cody, so.
It just felt very abrupt.
It was abrupt. Now, they got a lot of people out right now, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They got Rhea Ripley, Seth Rollins, a few others that's been out for a while as well. CM Punk. So,
well, where did Chad Gable go? To Raw?
Chad Gable's on Raw. He was drafted with the Alpha Academy on the show. But like I said, not the best matchup that I would have liked for Carmelo Hayes, but it was good for what it was. Cody picked up the win with the Crossroads. Post-match, AJ Styles comes in. He looks like he was about to attack Cody, but he stopped short, and Cody turned around. And then we got an awkward stare down, and then they shook hands as the show went to black.
They shook hands again?
Yeah.
What is this? A shake and show? That's not.
I don't know. I was like, there was nothing about AJ Styles' promo in the contract signing that made me feel like he was a heel. I think that that's why the contract signing, I thought it was pretty good as well, but I thought it could have been better if I would have known who's the heel here. I was like, they both sound like baby faces to me. I was like, the crowd's booing AJ Styles, but AJ Styles did not do anything or say anything that said he was a heel.
Nope, he didn't at all. He didn't get the people going against him or anything. And I'm sure that was on purpose. They told him to stay that way. So they must have plans for him, some of these other heels, because they need him to get some of these other heels over after he's been there for 8 or 10 years or whatever he's there. So that's his job right now. But they will have a good match at Backlash, and it won't go much longer than this one. I'll say 16 minutes, 17 minutes is how long I think it'll go.
I think they go 20. It's going to be the main event of Backlash.
Okay, they go 3 minutes more.
They go 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
That's about right. And they can do that. They could do that. Just if they got out of bed in the morning and the first thing you said, all right, go to the ring, do this match, they could do it. They don't even got to sit. See, that's when you tell who the pros are, when they don't even got to talk it over. They just go and do it.
That crowd in France is going to eat that up. It's going to eat that first time matchup up. So they don't have to do much to, because when the bell rings, that's all that's going to really matter.
Okay. If they told them to win 20 minutes and they go out there and the crowd is so receptive, they may go 25 because they get to enjoying it too. Because when the crowd is really, really hot and everybody's feeling good, you know, you get that little extra burst of energy. Not that I've ever had that, of course. I did as least as I had to do. So, but I'd like to see that match, though. It's from what town is it in France?
I'm not too sure where in France it is. I'll look it up after we talk about this next segment, because we had LWO, Dragon Lee, and Rey Mysterio up against Legado del Fantasma.
That's the first hour, right?
Yeah. I don't have much to say about the matchup, because honestly, the matchup, as soon as they started, I was like, I feel like I have seen this 800 times, LWO and Legado del Fantasma. But yeah, they only gave us 3 minutes of this 5-minute matchup because it had
that's all they needed to. Title.
And it was fast. It was a fast paced matchup. Dragon Lee picking up the win.
It accomplished something.
Dragon Lee picked up the win for the team with the Destino, and then the post-match was where we really got what we was getting here, as Santos Escobar and Electro Lopez come out. Santos says that he is a lot of things, but he is not a liar. He says that Electro Lopez has been searching and been looking for the security footage from the night before WrestleMania. He said he didn't attack Dragon Lee, so now we were going to see who did it. And to the surprise of absolutely no one except for Rey Mysterio and the LWO, it was Carlito who attacked
Dragon Lee.
It surprised you? Why did it surprise you? I said that.
I hadn't been following their story. So,
I mean, it was pretty obvious. He didn't pick up. Well. I haven't been following the story.
So, but I kind of liked it. I enjoyed this.
I enjoyed this segment. I always enjoy when we have a mystery attack that's revealed with security footage. It always pops up.
Now you have to have liked Carlitos's face when he saw it. Oh my God. And he threw him over there. Then he took off. That was good.
Yo, he was so frantic. He was like, all right, I got to push him into him. Then he goes, backstabber.
Who is the girl with the leader of the? Yeah, who's that girl in there? What's her name?
Well, LWO is Zelina Vega.
Yeah, who's the other girl they had out there?
Legado del Fantasma has Electra Lopez.
Okay. Wait a minute. There's too many Mexicans running around. I get them confused. Oh, I can say that.
He's keeping the gimmick, folks.
No. But they, well, they all have masks on and everything else, except the ones I like. But they do have good matches. Very good matches.
So we already talked about, you know, the Cody segments of the night, and I did want to read this comment because it's an interesting one that I wanted to bring up to you. KK says, Cody isn't the guy to hold the title. He's in a way where a football team has one good year and wins the Super Bowl and then doesn't win again. This is something that is a topic that was really brought up over on my other channel, True Hill Heat. My good friend Jimmy McAram, before WrestleMania, he was the first person that really said to me that he doesn't think Cody is the guy. He thinks that Cody is the guy between the guy. He is more akin to a Bret the Hitman Hart, a Shawn Michaels, a Bryan Danielson, a CM Punk, than he is in the line of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, John Cena, Roman Reigns. He says that he fits in more with the guy between the guy than the actual guy. What do you think?
Transitory champion.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, like Cody.
Not even a transitional champion, because that has a back stigma, but it's more or less, I would say, like Bret, Shawn, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, they were transitional faces of WWE. Like, not transitional just champions, because transitional champions, they happen and you tend to forget them. But transitional faces of the company, or number twos, great number twos, you remember them, but they are more prominent than a transitional champion.
I kind of agree. Who wrote you that letter, that note?
That's my co-host on our AEW review, Jimmy McAram. He's the one that said
I kind of agree with him. But what do you think is holding Cody in there? Those merch sales. When they see those merch sales, they say, well, let's don't go against them. But if so many people, if they buy your merch, they're with you. So now you got to do something with Cody. If, say, a heel beats the crap out of him or does something, or, I mean, they're going to have to do it in a way that's believable, but it gets a little heat on or sympathy on Cody, then you got money. But I don't really like him as champion because I think Gunther will be the champion after about a year. And I think he'll hold it quite a while. And I would like to see Gunther versus Roman. I think that they could almost do that now, except they're rushing it. They don't need to do it now. But they got their horses in a... They got so many ways to go, so many doors to go through that they didn't have a year and a half ago. It's not even funny. And you can tell that they've had a complete turnover of creative and of thinking. So they're doing it the right way, and I commend them on that. I don't like everything. Nobody likes everything. But they got it in a spot now where it's very good to be, because they got a lot of, if somebody goes down, which they have, they just got to pull somebody up and do something with them, and they're almost back in business right where they were. So I think they did a good job. Even though I didn't particularly like the show, it was still about 100% better than it was a year and a half ago.
Well, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, most definitely. Just really quickly, we'll go over this stuff. Not much to say about this one. Braun Breaker with a 16-second win over Cedric Alexander with the spear. But the only thing I wanted to say real quick about that Braun Breaker segment, his new song is so bad. It's just noise. They just made noise with barking on top of it. It is so bad. It is one of the worst theme songs I think I've heard ever.
Well, he's just a remake of Goldberg. That's all it is. And he even does the facial expressions of Goldberg. He's snorting and spitting on the way out there. I think they could have given him just a little bit. And I understand to make him a killer. I understand that. And when you brought up 16 seconds, I actually went back and counted, and I got right at 16. I said, did they ring a bell? But they did ring a bell. I said, well, I'll start right then. And he hit him with the deal. But we got to see how, if they get in a position to where he gets people get used to seeing him in those 2 minute just massacres. If he's got to go 10, they're going to go, whoa, wait a minute. He's went downhill. He could still win the match after 10, and then he still went downhill because he didn't beat him in 2. So I think he's still a work in progress, and they will adjust him as they go along. So we'll see what they do with him. I'm interested in him.
So then they had Aldis was walking backstage, and Tiffany Stratton stops him to ask him for a title match. He says that tonight she will face Naomi again, and the winner will face Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship at Backlash. Stratton asks whose idea that was, and Bayley walks into the frame and says that it was her idea. And then Stratton says she had a Tiffany epiphany and says that Bayley needs to sit at ringside during her match later tonight. We'll talk about that shortly. At that point, next, they had the round 2 of the WWE draft. We had Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson come out and announce these. Now we got to ask Dutch Mantel who won round 2. SmackDown picked up Randy Orton and Nia Jax, which was our first big swap of a Raw superstar to SmackDown. But no, it's actually our second big swap because our first big swap was in this round with Bron Breakker being picked by Raw. So he goes from SmackDown to Raw, and they also picked up Liv Morgan. So you want Monday Night Raw had Bron Breakker and Liv Morgan, SmackDown, Randy Orton and Nia Jax. Who won round 2?
That's a draw.
That's a draw?
I think it is a draw. So
that's fair.
And then Nia Jax, we hadn't seen her up to this point.
But we would see her. We would see her next because we're going to talk about that. Bayley was at ringside for Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton, and what we got is I'm seeing that we're getting some chemistry developing between Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. I thought that this was one of their better efforts in the ring together. I thought some of their other matches that they have are kind of been missable or kind of just meshed together. This one, like towards the end of the matchup, although it was a short match, I thought they were really cooking at that point. And then Nia Jax comes out of nowhere. She attacks Bayley. Naomi tries to make the save. She throws her into the ring post, and the match is thrown out after the matchup. After Nia Jax laid out Naomi and Bayley, Tiffany Stratton's like, oh, I guess I'll just do what I did last week. She puts both girls into the ring. She hits the prettiest moonsault ever. And then Nick Aldis later in the night announces it will be Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship at WWE Backlash. What did you think about this segment here?
I love the finish. It was a DQ, but they covered that DQ up. And then when she lined them both up, now they make Nia Jax look like a killer, which I think she was, that's the way she's supposed to look anyway. That's the only thing she can do. They look like a killer. She's not a finesse wrestler. And then Tiffany Stratton, she hit that back flip, beautiful. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, she's laying them close together, so that makes her knees go back out farther. I said, I hope she, and she did. She's done that before, but she did it. Nobody got hurt. I thought that was a good spot. I enjoyed that match.
I was fine with it. I didn't like the finish too much. I like Nia Jax attacking Bayley. I just would have liked for the girls to actually finish their matchup that was going well. That's just me, but I know they had to set up the triple threat.
They can't beat Naomi 2 weeks in a row.
I know. They had to say, well, they didn't beat Naomi last week. It was a no contest last week. So we got back-to-back weeks with shit finishes.
I thought she beat her last week. No?
No, we got shit finishes back-to-back weeks. That's why I don't like this finish.
Stop it. You're too much of a purist.
No, I'm just saying, I would have liked more effort than that. I like the Nia Jax attacking Bayley. I just didn't understand why it needed to be involved in the matchup other than it did set up the triple threat. So at the end of the day, they accomplished what they wanted to.
Well, I liked it. So
I know.
You're on this way and you're this way and I'm that way. I liked it.
Exactly. Round 3 of the WWE draft. Dutch, we have SmackDown picking up LA Knight and the Bloodline. The Bloodline in the third round. Disrespectful.
That was good.
So disrespectful. And then Raw picked up Ricochet and Sheamus. So Raw getting Sheamus and Ricochet, SmackDown getting LA Knight and the Bloodline. I think I know who you're picking this round.
Oh, SmackDown, that's by a mile. A whole mile. I'm thinking Ricochet. Hey, Ricochet, have they told any, what happened to his, didn't he have a little bit of a romance with Samantha Irving? Is that his girlfriend now, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they start something with them on TV?
No, she was just using this program with Logan Paul.
Okay. Yeah. Well, SmackDown won that one by a country mile, big time.
Definitely. They got a steal with the Bloodline in the third round. We get Paul Heyman, speaking of which, with the Bloodline, we got a recap of last week's attack. Heyman was shown backstage waiting on a car to pull up. He forgets to immediately open the door for Solo Sikoa, but then he apologizes. And Sikoa asks Heyman if the Bloodline got drafted yet. So this was before the third round here. Heyman said no. Sikoa asks for all the details. Heyman said that Reigns withdrew from the draft and nobody knows what they're getting if they draft the Bloodline now because you keep adding members. Solo looks at him very mean. Then Tama Tonga appears from the other side of the car. Sikoa told Heyman to repeat everything he just said. But then Kevin Owens comes out of nowhere. He starts attacking a Solo from behind. Then he starts brawling, very intense brawling with Tama Tonga until officials instantly rushed in to break things up. But that led into our next round of things as we had our next round of the WWE. Well, no, first we had Bianca Belair come out for an interview.
I want to say one thing. WWE security is the shits. Okay, go ahead.
This is true. But they came very quickly before the brawl escalated, but they didn't know how to separate them, apparently.
No.
But we would know that after this interview, because Kayla Braxton came out, she interviewed Bianca Belair. We found out that Belair and Jade Cargill will face Kabuki Warriors for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships at Backlash. Belair said that she's had a lot of history with Damage Control, but they're falling apart right now. And she said that Jade Cargill is the perfect person to help her put an end to Damage Control. Belair said the Kabuki Warriors won't have a reason to show up to SmackDown after they win the WWE Women's Tag Team titles at Backlash. Asuka and Kairi Sane made their entrance. They held their titles up. Then Jade Cargill comes out. She stands off with Belair by her side. They jaw at the Kabuki Warriors. And then in the background, Kevin Owens and Tama Tonga pop up. They're brawling. They brawl down the entryway into the ring. Owens was pummeling Tama, but Solo Sikoa ran out and attacked Owens from behind to give the Bloodline the upper hand. Tama beat up random security guards. They absolutely made Tama look like a beast. He was like beating up one security guard at a time. Then him and Solo looked like they had Kevin Owens dead to rights. When Randy Orton's music hits, Orton comes out. He makes the save. He goes for the RKO on Solo, but Solo escapes. Orton and Owens stood tall. Owens hugs Orton, and I was like, please just make this tag team matchup for Backlash. And then our good friend Teddy Long, a good friend here at Sports Kita, Teddy Long, makes a tag team match for Backlash. This was the best thing on the show, in my opinion.
That was good because it ran together. Another misdirection. You didn't expect it. And they carried it out well. Hell, I'm starting to like the show better now. I said, yeah, it's okay. And then you start telling me all this stuff. Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. So, yeah, but a main show still put together pretty well.
Hey, I know how to break down this review well.
Yeah, you do.
I'm telling the good stuff at the end. I'm telling the good stuff at the end.
Yeah, it's your effective personality. It's contagious. So you're getting it.
Thank you. Byron Saxton interviewed the Street Profits and B-Fab backstage. Next week, the Profits challenge A-Town Down Under for the tag team titles. B-Fab said they are going to take the heels down, and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller appeared. They talked trash about the Bengals, and Bobby Lashley showed up and scared A-Town Down Under away. Who do you think wins next week?
A-Town Down.
I agree. I think they retain. Did we get a chance to talk about those titles? Oh yeah, we did. We did talk last week. We were on last week. Those titles still look beautiful to me. Those are the best titles in the company.
I think Grayson Waller and Theory, they're a good team. I think they can do. That's your character team. You can do anything you want to do with them. You can put them. I mean, that's a producer's dream to have these two guys, especially Theory. Theory can do anything.
Yeah.
He's a good bullshitter, good talker. You kind of like him. You know he's shooting the shit to you, but I think they'll keep the title on those guys for a while.
I think so, because they have a bunch of babyface teams that they can fight with them. And speaking of which, New Catch Republic would be one of those teams I'm thinking of. But they were drummed by the Final Testament. Karrion Kross showed us backstage, dragged a cameraman to see AOP beating them up. AOP versus New Catch Republic next week. And then finally, Dutch.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Put some butts in the seats, right? Then finally, Dutch, round four of the WWE 2024 draft, the final round for this show. Teddy Long and JBL came out for those picks. Round three had the Dudley boys. It was nice to see the Dudleys back together on WWE TV.
But I like JBL, when they put on their glasses.
Always gets a pop, and we won table chance. Yes. But round four had Teddy Long and JBL, and we'll see what Dutch says about this round. SmackDown picked up number one contender AJ Styles and picked up a big superstar from Monday Night Raw in Andrade. Meanwhile, Raw picked up the Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri, as well as NXT's own Kiana James. And unlike Carmelo Hayes on this show, Kiana James got a video package right after, and then they interviewed Kiana James in Orlando. She says being drafted meant the world to her, but she's ready to show Raw why she's the number 1%. And Shawn Michaels appeared, whispered things in James' ear. They hugged, and James looked really happy with becoming a Raw superstar.
Okay, he whispered in her ear for like 10 seconds.
Yes.
And now you're going to say, okay, what did he say? What happened? And I think we might be seeing Mr. Shawn Michaels on Raw. She went to Raw, right? I think we might see him back on Raw helping her.
I don't think so. I think that was a real thing. I don't think it was story at all.
Well, they should.
I know,
people, wrestling fans like that secret stuff. Chippa, chippa,
chippa, chippa. I don't think wrestling.
Don't tell nobody.
I don't think wrestling fans are going to care what Shawn Michaels said to Kiana James.
Though. Well, they may not care, but you can make them care. Is what I'm saying.
This is true.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes you take what's there and take from it. But it did look legit that he was congratulating her and, you know, on her success and wished her a lot of luck. He could have been doing that. What's the next one say?
We got one final super chat donation to close things off for us. Roland Curtis says the conversation about transitional faces versus permanent faces relates to the question I asked you guys before about what makes the champ slash face. So why is Cody more Brett than Hogan? Which do you prefer?
What?
To answer the question of why do I think that Cody is more Brett than Hogan? Cody wants to come across as the fighting champion, the everyday champion, the workhorse champion. That is what Bret Hart was. Hulk Hogan was the high profile big star champion that barely showed up. He would only show up for the big shows, whether it was Saturday night's main event or a pay-per-view or a special on MTV. We wouldn't see him weekly on WWF Superstars or any of the weekly Tuesday Night Titans. He was like that. There's a difference there. That's why Cody fits the mold of a Bret Hart more than the face of the company, Hulk Hogan style guy. And I mean, which do I prefer? I mean, I preferred Bret over Hogan, but I thought that with Roman Reigns being that they made him over the 4-year run into the next face that they always wanted him to become, I thought when you end that 4-year title run, it needed to go to the next guy you were going to build. So I said, even back 2 years ago, I thought the next guy they were building was Bron Breakker. But they're taking their time with him, which is understandable.
Oh,
so,
they gotta take their time with him.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Pushing him too strong right now will kill him.
Yeah.
It will kill him, because like I said, he's like the second coming of Goldberg. Hell, who wants to see Goldberg now?
But this is also the thing though, Dutch. Like what people have to understand is that we didn't go from Bruno Sammartino, and then Bruno lost the title to Hulk Hogan. No, we had Bob Backlund in between that. But I'm saying like big babyface champion. Like it was Bruno, yep. Then in the middle it was Bob Backlund, but the next face of the company was Hulk Hogan. Then it didn't go from Hulk Hogan, Dutch, to Stone Cold Steve Austin. We had Bret and Shawn in between the middle of that. So, like, you need those guys to be the bridge to the next guy. And that's what I think that Jimmy McElroy, when he first said that to me, that's what he meant. That Cody's going to be the guy to be the bridge to the next guy.
Thank you for answering. Yeah, Cody right now, he's selling so much merch.
Yeah.
And the people respond to him. So they're not gonna pull that trigger too quick on Cody. I think Cody might have like a year run, and then till they get the next heel ready, and we'll see what happens there. Cody, I think's doing a pretty fair job right now.
I made my prediction. I think it was, I think I said it on here. I already said Cody will be champion. Until the first Raw on Netflix, when The Rock returns and beats him for the title.
When's Rock returning?
January 2025. That's when we see The Rock return. He's going to beat Cody for the WWE.
He's
going to
be gone eight months?
Yep.
Wow. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
I didn't think he was going to be gone that long.
He'll be gone. He got to make a movie. He's making a movie.
Yeah, but I heard that the movie part that he had, they were speeding that up for him.
No, I'm not going to speed it up. It's going to be a good movie.
You calling me a liar? That's what I heard.
I'm saying what you heard was a lie, not okay. You a liar. But Dutch Mantel, let everybody know where they can follow you and where they can see your great podcast. You're doing great.
Okay. DirtyDutchMantel.com. It's being restructured, but you can still, there's some stuff you can go on there and go see. And it's, I'm finally getting my website up and running. And if you want to just contact me, DirtyDutchMantel, two L's, @gmail.com and at Twitter, DirtyDMantel. You can get me there, or X. It's not Twitter anymore, it's X. That's where you can find me.
Twitter, X. You can follow me, it says here, @TrueHeelSP3. You can follow my YouTube channel, True Heel Heat Wrestling. I will be live tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, with the True Heel Heat flagship podcast. We'll talk about Tony Khan sporting the neck brace at the NFL draft.
I should have worn one out here tonight. Like.
You should have. That would have been great. You should have, and you should have showed him how to sell it.
And your voice has to be a little off. Yes, I'm okay. Still a little tender.
Oh no. But yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his dig at WWE. We'll talk about, is Jack Perry AEW's new top star? We'll talk about that on the flagship podcast. So check it out tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern time. Go over and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We just hit 14,000 subscribers over there. So thank you so much for anyone who's come over from this channel. We appreciate it. But Me, Dutch, and Rick will be back with you next Friday reviewing Friday Night SmackDown with the Go Home Show. No, I don't. Are we doing next week's show? I don't know if we're doing next week's show. We'll Rick figure it out.
Rick just texted me. He got pulled over.
There we go. So we won't be doing. We won't be doing next week's show because me and Dutch got to make our way to Cincinnati to bail Rick out. But we will have a show next week, whether it be covering SmackDown, whether it be covering the news, or whether it be covering WWE Backlash, which is next Saturday. Me, Dutch, and Rick will see you for that. So until then, we will see you. This has been Smack Talk on Sports Keto by WrestleBinge. I am SP3, and we are out.